Sairam everyone, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a fantastic talk by Professor Sanjay Sahni, who is currently the Controller of Examinations of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sri Sanjay Sahni was a student of the first batch of the 5-year Integrated Commerce Program in Swami's University. He won the Gold Medal for Academic Excellence both for his Bachelor's of Commerce as well as Master's of Commerce programs. Subsequently, Bhagwan Baba blessed him to join as a faculty member in the Department of Commerce in 1987 at the Prashanthi Nilayam campus. Later, he also served as the warden of the senior boys hostel at Prashanthi Nilayam and as a principal of the Brindavan campus, a position he held till recently. The topic for today's talk is transformation, and this talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 10th of September 2017. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, we will have some beautiful songs sung by Swami students. And at 3:30 p.m, we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. And with that, over to Professor Sanjay Sahni.
Transformation is a very personal subject. Whatever little time I have lived, one of the insights of my life is that I cannot transform one individual in this world. So the question arises, then why are you standing here? What are you speaking? So I have always felt the chance to participate in a satsang is an opportunity for you to speak to yourself, for the higher mind to speak to the lower mind. And the insight that I gained from my life was, if at all you have a chance to transform anybody in this world, the only chance is to transform yourself. And if we can transform ourselves, we deserve a lifetime achievement award from Swami. So, at the very outset, I'd like to give a disclaimer that I don't intend that at the end of this talk, I expect anybody to be transformed. I myself am on a journey and each one of us is on a spiritual journey. But what I do intend to do today is to reflect on this beautiful theme and what our beloved Bhagwan has said on several occasions and what is the significance of that. About 10 years ago, there was a World Youth Conference at Prashanthi. I happened to be part of a panel discussion. And one of the youth members had posed this question, why should I be transformed? Is it because the world needs my transformation? Or is it because Swami wants me to transform? Is it because I must transform? Or is it because the world will be damned if I don't transform? So this was a question which that young member of the conference had raised, and I remember sharing and responding to that. I said, see, have you ever seen a caterpillar? You know, that little insect moving from one leaf to the other. One day, this caterpillar gives up its existence as a caterpillar and becomes a beautiful butterfly and hops from flower to flower. So colorful, so beautiful, such a wonderful sight to observe. So the question I posed was, why should the caterpillar give up its existence as a caterpillar and become a butterfly? And the answer is, it is the inherent nature and destiny of the caterpillar to become a butterfly. So why should I get transformed? Because it's your destiny to be transformed. It is your destiny to be transformed. Adi Shankara in his Vivek Chudamani says, Jantu Naam Nar Janma Durlabham. There is only among 84 lakhs of species, he says, most difficult is to get a human birth. Why is it so difficult? And what is so special about being born as a human being? The reason is, if I were born as a dog, I am destined to die as a dog. If I am born as a snake, I am destined to die as a snake. If I am born as a dove, I am destined to die only as a dove. But if you are born as a human being, you have the potential in this very lifetime to die as God. Mr. Murli was just talking about Hanumanji a few minutes ago. Hanumanji, what is his status? A monkey. A status which is not even human, subhuman. Fickleness, thy name is a monkey. You know, when the coronation ceremony is taking place and Mother Sita wants to give a gift to Hanuman, she gives this beautiful necklace, pearl necklace, which apparently had been gifted by Vibhishana to the divine couple, and she takes that necklace and gives it to Hanumanji. What does Hanumanji do? He starts biting it, and everybody starts, you know, fretting and fuming. What is this? You know, at the end of it, you are a monkey only. Such a prey. You don't know the value of a pearl necklace. You're tearing off each pearl bead and biting it and throwing it away. Fickleness, thy name is a monkey. But Hanumanji, when he was asked, why are you doing it? He said, I am checking whether Ramanama is there on this bead or not. So, there was a member in that August assembly, he said, do you mean to say that you will accept only that which is emanating the name of Rama? What about this body of yours? You are carrying this body. Does it also emanate the name of Rama? So Hanumanji tears a strand of hair from his body and offers it to the ear of that gentleman, and from that hair of Hanuman, from that hair of Hanuman, they hear the name of Rama emanating. He said, I carry this body because it is emanating the name of the Lord. Today morning, when I was going for the bhajans, I just happened to meet Dr. Shiva Reddy. He's been a dentist for many years in our general hospital here. One day he was sharing a beautiful experience of his. These were olden days in Vrindavan. Thri Vrindavan was not yet constructed, Swami's residence. Swami was staying in the old bungalow. And behind Swami's bungalow, there used to be some mango trees. And those mango trees would attract a bunch of monkeys. So they were all, the whole family of monkeys were there enjoying the mango fruit. And Swami, with this gentleman, Dr. Reddy, were standing below the tree. So Swami told Dr. Shiva Reddy, go inside and get some groundnuts. So he was quite familiar with Swami's residence, so he went into the kitchen and perhaps he asked somebody or picked up, went to that place where the groundnuts were stored. So he picked up a palm full of groundnuts, came to Swami and put all the groundnuts into Swami's palm. So Swami is having all the groundnuts in his hand. And then Swami looked up and saw all the monkeys and didn't say any word. He just, you know, with the movement of his eyes, he gave an indication which we would interpret it as, come. So just he, you know, blinked his eyes and wonder of wonders, that whole family of monkeys caught the hint. And an amazing sight unfolded in front of the eyes of Dr. Shiva Reddy. Now we also see monkeys, we also see them in Prashantalayam and wherever we go. Yes. So Swami also was in a mood to feed, and he was holding this palm full of groundnuts, and the whole family of monkeys came down the tree, not in a horde, one by one. Not even one by one. Standing in a queue. Have you seen ever in your life monkeys standing in a queue? Even in our canteens or any other darshan line, you know, when we are standing in a queue, human beings are trying to jostle and see, can I go, you know, a few steps ahead and get a faster service or a faster darshan? Monkeys in a queue, nobody is rushing. And Swami is holding this palm of groundnuts in his hand, and the monkeys come, and the sight of his lifetime he saw that day, the monkey comes to Swami's palms and picks up, can you ever imagine, one piece of groundnut from Swami's palm, only one piece of groundnut, and quickly climbs back the tree. The sight of, he said, this is something unimaginable. You know, the most defining moment of his life when he felt that monkey which has, you know, no control over its fickle nature. That monkey, Swami has made them stand in a queue and put them such into such discipline that they're taking one piece of groundnut. That means how much control Swami has over this minds of these monkeys. And he says, Swami says, our minds are also a monkey. If I take this monkey mind and offer it to Swami, what wonders can he not do with our monkey minds? That is what Hanumanji did. He took his whole monkey body and the mind and every hair, every part of his being, and offered it to the Lord. Lord, use it as you like, you lose it. My nature is a monkey. What can you do? I can hop from one place to another. I can jump from one place to another. Okay, come. I will give you a chance. Can you jump from this side of the ocean to that side of the ocean and find out about Sita? I will do that. And that's what Hanumanji did. Then, you know, Lakshmana is dying. He has been hurt by those powerful weapons of Indrajit, then he is lying dead. He says, now we need the Sanjeevani from the Himalayas, and they are in Lanka. And he said, now who will go to the Himalayas and get? And Hanuman, can you do that? Sure. And he goes straight to the Himalayas and comes back. He is not able to find where that Sanjeevani herb is. So he says, okay, let me carry a part of the mountain itself. If he was a passenger in any airlines today, Hanumanji would have been booked for default on two counts. Number one, you're traveling without visa. Number two, excess baggage, pay extra. 1 month was able to achieve all that because he took that mind of his and offered it to the Lord. And mind you, you go to any village in India, each village has their own deities to worship. In every village you find almost a Hanuman temple. Here is a being which who was not even a human, but from the status of an animal, he raised himself to the status of divinity. That is why at the Hillview Stadium here in Prashantli, you go, you will see the statues of Krishna, you will see the statues of Shirdi Sai, you will see the statues of Shiva, but much, much, much more gigantic is the statue of Hanumanji, 65 feet tall, standing on the top of the mountain. And Swami is announcing to the whole world, here is my greatest devotee. This is all you can also become. You can also become that. It's a classic case of transformation. When we look at the three letters of the word Sai. Before that, I'm reminded of, it was the 14th of April, I think 2001 or 2002, Swami is speaking to all the devotees of Kerala and Tamil Nadu who had come to celebrate their new year at Vrindavan with Bhagwan. In the course of his discourse, Swami made a very powerful statement, and which left me wonderstruck, and it took quite a bit of time for me to understand what he meant. He said, I do not want your bhakti. I want your transformation, he said. I do not want your bhakti. I want your transformation. I left to myself, Swami, every scripture of the world, every faith in every part of the world, wherever God is worshipped, you say, love God, love God, love God. Devotion has been the cornerstone of the spiritual path. And here you are saying, I don't want bhakti, I want transformation. What is the meaning of this statement? And I reflected and I reflected and I reflected. And this is the insight which I got. And the insight was, that bhakti which does not lead to transformation is no bhakti at all. That bhakti which does not lead to transformation is no transformation at all. So, Swami, when he was saying bhakti, he was talking of the fake bhakti. There's a beautiful story relating to one of the saints in Tamil Nadu. Apparently he was a juggler. And he had gone to the temple and he was in front of the deity and he was juggling. Because that is the skill that he has. So he was juggling in front of the deity. Now, so many people come to the temple, people come, they ring the bell, they light the lamp, they offer coconut, they offer flowers. Here is this person who has come and he is juggling. So the Lord was highly intrigued and he manifested and picked up a conversation. You know, he became live for the devotee and he wanted to converse and find out what is this fellow up to. So he asked him, what are you doing here in front of me? He said, I'm doing this juggling. He said, why are you doing it in front of me? He said, because if you're happy with my juggling, you may shower your blessings on me. So the Lord, you know, he said, hey, this is all stunt. You think I'm going to be taken up and carried away by all these stunts. I am not a fool. I am not going to give you anything for all this. So the juggler, he got little, you know, what is this? How can you say like that? He said, when I go to the king and I perform in front of the king in his court, he showers all precious gifts on me. And today, I have come to perform in the presence of the King of Kings. In the presence of the King of Kings, and you tell me that you will send me back empty-handed? So, after hearing this dialogue, you know, the Lord felt there's something in what this fellow... I cannot be like every temporal king. I have to be something more than what they have been doing. So he says, okay, what do you want? So then this man says, Lord, you only were telling that all that I have been doing is stunt devotion. Can you take this offering of stunt devotion of mine and give me real devotion? Can you take this offering of stunt devotion of mine, this little juggling antics what I have done, and give me real devotion? So when Swami says, I don't want your bhakti, I want your transformation, this is what I understood. If it's real bhakti, transformation is bound to come. It's bound to come. So, how will it come? See, when we come to Swami, he accepts us as we are. I mean, it's for each individual to relate to him and experience, and some of us who physically interacted with him, lived with him, had the most wonderful opportunity to come to his lotus feet when I was just 16 years old. And this is what happens to us first, you know, something in him attracts us. And he accepts you as you are, no conditions attached. For us to accept him, we have hundreds of conditions. Swami, unless you do this, 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 I will not consider you as divine. Supposing Swami were to put, unless you do this, 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 I don't accept you as my devotee. If Swami had to put those conditions, where would we stand? See, this happens because when we come to Swami, we see ourselves in him. And we know ourselves well. Whether the world knows us or not, we know ourselves well. So we are saying, oh, he also must be like me only. So we don't trust him. But when Swami was to see us, he sees himself in us. And therefore, when we tell him, Swami, we love you, he trusts us totally. His sense of identification with each human soul, what soul? Every being on this earth is that of oneness. One day he was coming out of Trai Vrindavan for darshan in Sai Ramesh Hall at Vrindavan. And all the elders were very reverentially waiting for Swami to come closer. And suddenly they saw that Swami picked up his robe in his hand and lifted it up. And when he came to a particular point, very gingerly he hopped across, seeing that, you know, the cloth did not drag on the floor. People were wonderstruck. Swami, what is this? Why are you doing like this? And then Swami said, the ants are passing by. I did not want to disturb them. You know, the robe would always be on the floor when Swami would walk. So the ants were in a queue crossing the road, and Swami picked up his robe, hopped across that queue, the row of ants. He didn't want to disturb even that row of ants. That is the sensitivity that we saw in Swami. I remember when, you know, next to the Gopuram gate is the students' hostel of Vrindavan campus. Whenever Vrindavan campus students come, Swami had given them that place as a residence. So many years ago, about 20 years ago, one day Swami asked the secretary of the ashram to get all the bathrooms renovated. So spick and span, the number of bathrooms had increased and they were all very elegantly organized. So the warden on behalf of the hostel mentioned to Swami, "Swami, we're so grateful to you for the new bathrooms you have given to the students." Swami said, "I didn't do it for them. I did it for myself." Meaning, he identified with each one of the students. He understood what were their problems. They were happy. You know, especially festival time and all, it used to be a big challenge when the number of, used to be 100 on a floor and we had only 4 bathrooms for 100 people. And students would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning to have bath. So he identified himself with each student and the kinds of problems they were having. And he got it done. He said, "I didn't do it for them, I done it for myself." But waiting, he is at one with them. So, see, that is the Swami we have seen with our own eyes. So, when we talk of transformation, at what level is the transformation? And the key for that Swami has given is in his name itself. S-A-I. He says, S represents spiritual change, A represents association change, I represents individual change. So change is required. When we come to Swami, Swami accepts us as we are. But that is the stage of attraction, chamatkar, you know, through various things. He attracts us. But that's not enough. He takes us to the next stage, and that is the stage of samskar. Samskar is the stage of transformation. And that transformation, I was just reading Swami. You know, when we come to Swami, we give up the right to be like anybody else. Let's be clear on that. We give up the right to be like anybody else. We give up the right to be what we were when we come to Him. If you don't want to give up that right, then why are we wasting time? This is not the place. What do we mean we give up the right to be like ourselves? Because Swami has came down on earth to uplift each one of us. One day, I remember our first Vice Chancellor, Professor Vinayak Krishna Gokak, Gyan Peet Award winner, former Vice Chancellor of Bangalore University, very eminent scholar. He was a disciple of Sri Aurobindo, a great spiritual master of India. So one day he asked Swami, "Swami, what is the difference between you and Sri Aurobindo?" And Swami said, "Aurobindo is a Vyaktinath. I am Loknath. God has so many instruments, all the saints and seers, each one of them is His instrument, you know, in their own small domains to uplift people, take them Godward, forward in the spiritual journey. But when the avatar comes, He is not like them. He is the commander of the army of the Mahatmas, the army of the saints, the army of great yogis. So He comes to lift. You know, it's like a grand steamer. Thousands can enter into a steamer. It's a small boat, few people can get in. But the avatar has a capacity to live. If you have the inclination to get into His boat, to get into His ship. So, when Swami speaks of change, He says S stands for spiritual change, A for association change, I for individual change. See, when we come to Swami, some things change. I saw in my own father. I was, I think, in my second standard or third standard, primary school, when my father returned from his first darshan at Vrindavan. And the first thing that we found, the first change which happened to him way back in 72 when he had his first darshan, and so many people have had similar kinds of effect on their psyche. He gave up three things. He used to eat meat, he gave up eating meat. He used to smoke, he gave up smoking, and he gave up drinking liquor. Three things, just dropped off. Because we were too small to understand. But he says, oh, you know, so because of this Lord, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, whose photograph is there in our house, he gave up all that. In fact, many years ago I was on the in the Purnachandra and Swami is speaking in his discourse, he said, you know, my devotees, for anything you want to apply, say you want to apply to the university for an education, you must have minimum qualification. You want to apply for a job, you need a minimum qualification. If you want to apply, you're not yet become a devotee, you want to apply to become His devotee, what is the minimum qualification? So Swami enunciated it one day in a discourse on His birthday. He said, my devotees will not do three things, and I beseech you to give up this. And what are those three things? He said, they should not eat meat, they should not smoke, and they should not drink liquor. Minimum qualification. So do you have the minimum qualification to apply? In God's university, where the degree is divine love, do we have minimum qualification? If you don't have, then, you know, you're not even eligible to take the courses. So come back when you have the eligibility. What if not in this life, next life? Whenever you come, whenever you say you're ready, I'll come. Sambhavami yuge yuge, that is the declaration of the Lord. So, some change takes place in our life. I remember there was a youngster who was in the 70s, a student of the summer course, and got inspired by Swami's words, His personality, fell in love with Swami, and would come regularly to Swami. Later on, became very active in the Sathya Sai organization. So he had got his first, he joined a company, and he got his first international assignment to go to Russia. So he came to Prashantalayam to take Swami's blessings. And he was sitting in the mandir, and Swami came, and he said, Swami, my company is sending me to Russia. So I came for your blessings. And Swami, you know, like a family member, somebody is going abroad, how, you know, we would make our special individual requests to such a person. Swami said, oh, you're going to Russia? What will you get for me from Russia? Now, you know, you still, and we come to Swami and ask Swami, you give me something. Here is Swami, what will you give me? So he was very surprised, but spontaneously said, Swami, whatever you give, whatever you want, I'll get for you. Swami said, whatever I want, you will get for me? Yes, Swami, whatever you ask for, I will get for you. And Swami was, expressed surprise, and there were all the elders who were sitting around and said, look at this fellow. He's saying, whatever I want, he will get for me. And this fellow says, yes, Swami, whatever you want, I will get for you. And then Swami bent low and whispered into his ear, come back with a pure mind. Come back with a pure mind. I tell you, any family member, anything in the world, they will ask us to get. But look at the Divine Mother, Divine Master, what is his expectation? Anyway, this fellow went, and his company was bidding for an international tender which had been floated by the then USSR government. So the next day, all the tender is going to be opened and the contracts are going to be awarded based on the quotes that have been given by the various prospective bidders. The previous day, the head of the Russian delegation gave a party. Today, as I was entering the mandir, an elderly devotee, he said, you know what? Shall I tell you something? I said, what? Our devotees have come from Madhya Pradesh. Look at their scarf. They are calling themselves as Parti Yatra. Party Yatra. P-A-R-T-Y. Party Yatra, not Parti Yatra. Huh? No, today mornings I'm telling you. I was entering mandir, so somebody was telling me, look at this. Then I tried to say, you know, it must have happened like this. The person who was given this task, he has thought in the vernacular, in Hindi, and you know, he has translated how it sounds in Hindi to convert it into English, and it has looked like a, you know. So I was mentioning to them, see, this is what it is, you know, we discovered it, and then we were wondering what to do, all these scarves are there, and should we abandon it? Then I said, no, good thing you didn't abandon, because if somebody has spent money, organization has spent money, okay, it's a mistake, but let's not waste money, it's Swami's money. So, yes, you are in a party, you have come to home and you are celebrating a party with God. What else? So, and he said, don't worry about goof-ups. You know, this is something which I was sharing. Because, you know, we are teachers. So, we keep counseling students all the time. So, it comes a little natural to us. I said, you know, 15th August 1947, India got independence. Prime Minister, the first Prime Minister of India, Jawaharlal Nehru, is taking his list of cabinet ministers to be administered oath. It's in a cover, in an envelope, and he goes to the Governor General, Louis Mountbatten, and the next thing that Louis Mountbatten is going to do is to administer the oath to all the cabinet ministers. So the list of cabinet ministers is put in this envelope, and Prime Minister Nehru offers it to the Governor General, and Governor General opens the envelope. The first official function of independent India, he opens the envelope, and what comes out of that envelope is a blank sheet of paper. Somebody somewhere goofed up. Instead of putting the list of cabinet ministers, they put a blank sheet of paper, and Prime Minister was handed to the Governor General. So I was telling, don't worry. From day one of our independence, we have been goofing up. So doesn't matter. Somewhere, some of us will goof up. Enjoy the party. You know, that's what I was telling them. So, this fellow has given a party to all the delegates which have come from all over the world. And our man has, you know, Russia is a cold country, and he's offering hard drinks to all the members. So, everybody is drinking. Our fellow is drinking only cool drinks. Because, you know, he's given a word to Swami. So the president of the Russian delegation, he was going from one small group to the other and finally arrives at this fellow's small group, and among all the people he was describing, he said this fellow was the most drunk. He was drinking so heavily, he was most drunk, but even in that drunken state he realized that this fellow is sober. So he said, hey, you're drinking cool drinks. So he thought he didn't realize, you know, the beauty of Russia. So he said, why not have some vodka? You know, it's a very, very nice drink and all that. He said, no, sir, I'm very comfortable with this cool drink. Don't. And he said, no. You just have little. You can drink a little, sip a little. He said, no. So, you know, slowly this person got a little annoyed. He said, young man, do you realize I have the power to give this contract for which you have come to your company? I am asking you to drink this. Drink! And all the time, you know, in his mind, inner mind, the words of Swami, come back with the pure mind, come back with the pure mind, come back with the pure mind. You know, he's going on and on and on. And he said, sorry, sir. I cannot oblige you. I don't think I'll be the same person again if I were to drink that. And he left it to Swami. He said, I mean, for me, Swami is more important. If I lose this, I lose it. That's it. Of course, it would be a major disappointment for a young professional, first time with so much of trust, confidence, his company has deputed him, and he is going to lose the contract for some silly issue which is not even related to the contract. But the next day, by that time, the head of the president, Russian delegation has become fully sober. The tenders are open. And when the tenders were opened and all decisions were announced, the contract was awarded to this fellow's company. And I remember when he was sharing this with me many, many years ago, he said, you know, what did I do? Simple teaching of Swami, keep away from all vices. Keep away from all vices. That's all. That's what I did. And see, in spite of that man, you know, being the way he was, see how Swami turned the tables. And the same man was asked, I mean, was made or felt inspired, you know, to what inspired him, that is between Swami and that gentleman. But so when we come to him, Swami wants us to have individual change. But it's not enough to have individual change. I may be good. But it's not enough to have individual change. It's also important to have association change. What kind of people you move around with? What kind of, you know, food habits you have? What kind of, how you spend your leisure? You know, ahara and vihara are very, very important. Once you take and you're serious about the spiritual path, the ahara and vihara become also very, very important. The association change. See, for example, beautiful Sunday morning. We had a choice. Just across the road, we have beautiful ice creams and what have you available to us. We chose that we will not go there. We chose to be here in this satsang. What is satsang? Sat plus sang. Satsang doesn't mean to be with X or with Y. Sat means divinity, that which is permanent, eternal. That is sat. To be in the company of that, to be associated with that sat, is to be in satsang. So what kind of association you are in is so very important. This, you know, was impressed upon me many, many years ago in a very momentous incident in my life. I just returned from winter vacation to Prashantalam. I was a student, I think, in second year undergraduation at that time in the university here. And morning we had social work. I came in the previous evening. So morning we had social work. After work we finished our breakfast, bath, etc. And then came to mandir. In those days, bhajans in the mandir were at 11 o'clock in the morning. So Swami was with devotees inside and I was sitting there with all my brother students. And suddenly the door opens and Swami comes out. The first time I'm seeing in 15 days, and This is the thought which I got. Oh Swami, it's like yesterday I saw you and again I'm seeing you today morning. Though 15 days is over since I had darshan. And then the next thought was that now Swami will come down from the upper portico in front of the interview room. He will come to the middle portico. He will turn and he will look at me and he will talk to me. And sure enough it happened. So when Swami came down, he turned and he saw me from a distance. He smiled and he said, when did you come? So I was quite a distance from him. I said, Swami, I came yesterday. And he said, how is Delhi? My father was staying in Delhi at that time and in fact he had just moved to Delhi. I said, Swami, Delhi is not fine because, you know, it's the political capital of India and always in turmoil. Even at that point of time, so many political issues were seized of Delhiites. I said, Delhi is not fine. He said, how are you? I am fine, Swami, I said. But all this while, as we are talking, you know, he's coming closer and closer, and I was somewhere sitting in the middle. He cut across. He was on the central aisle between the two rows of students who were sitting. He cut across, and he's now standing right in front of me, standing above me, and he said, not fine. Bad boy, he said. I was totally taken aback. Swami, for 15 days, even when I was in Delhi at that time, I always felt, oh, Swami is with me all the time. I felt his presence all around with me. And this is the feeling I have when I come back after 15 days, I'm having a darshan after 15 days. And, you know, in spite of being in that bhavam, Swami says, bad boy. I said, how's your old friend, he asked. Old friend, Swami, first time I am going to Delhi after my father is transferred there. I don't know a soul there. How do I make friends and that too an old friend? And then Swami picked up a conversation and suddenly I realized that he was referring to something which happened one evening. I was sitting in my drawing room at home and the doorbell rings and my mother went and opened the door and a youngster came. She ushers him in and brings him to me and says, you know, this fellow, he's the son of our neighbor. For a long time he's been asking me, he wants to talk to you. So why not you spend some time with him? He wants to talk to you about your college. So we sat for a while and he kept on asking me so many questions and I kept on answering. And very delicate questions and very hostile questions, a typical Delhiite, youngster in Delhi, how he will ask. He was bombarding me all that and I was giving him wonderful answers. I was myself surprised. Oh, so nicely I'm answering his questions. And from where are the answers coming? I myself was surprised. But whatever I tell him, this fellow is not willing to accept. And again, one more question. At the end of it, you know, I said, see, for all I know, when I go back to Prashantalam, this is the first thing that Swami is going to do. He's going to refer to our conversation. And sure enough, Swami referred to that conversation. And then he said, you spoke well, but they cannot understand. They cannot understand. And then Swami, you know, he gave me that statement, which is a mantra for my life. They have too many attractions in life. Therefore, they cannot understand all this. I just thought to myself, what Swami said about that fellow was also applicable to me. 16 summers, Swami, I wasted my life. I also had so many interactions in the outside world. And because of all those attractions, you did not find me ready to come to your lotus feet. When I said, no, I don't want that. And said, Swami, I want to be with you. I want to study here. Then only Swami also, okay, you can come. So I realized that, you know, this is true. For every one of us, attraction for the world leads to less attraction for God. When you get attracted to God, the attraction for world will decline. It's automatic. And then he said, don't mix in the company of such people because your own mind will get spoiled. And then he walked away and I closed my eyes and I know I was such a ecstasy because something which has happened thousands of miles away from Prashantalam, he's giving you a verbatim record. And then after a few minutes, I think a minute or two, somebody patted me on my knee and Swami came back. And then he picked up, his conversation is not over. He started referring to something which I had discussed with my father when we had gone to the market. We are sitting in a car, there's nobody else in the car, and only both of us are discussing. He referred to that conversation. I went to somebody's house and he referred to that conversation. I was, you know, overwhelmed. I mean, this cannot be but divinity. You know, in every individual's life, there comes a moment, a defining moment. For me, that was a defining moment. That divinity, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, who has been with me in every place where I have been, who has been eavesdropping on every conversation that I have had with anybody, that being cannot but be God. My God. Whether anybody else is God or not, I don't know, but my, definitely my God. And you know, that's how he won over this young heart. And even till today, I find him the most inspiring personality in my life. So Swami, and then 1 year later, when I went to that, when home, my mother was telling, you know that fellow that day he came and met you. You see, yeah, what happened? That fellow got involved in a police case. 1 year ago, Swami has already cautioned me, don't mix with such people. And then I recalled that, you know, Swami was telling old friend, because when I was talking to him itself, I was talking as if I know him for ages. So I just reflected and I thought, maybe in some past life, we must have been some friends, and we, for the first time we have met in this lifetime. And so we are talking to each other as if, you know, it's like ages old relationship, but his life has taken one turn, my life has taken another turn. So at the nick of time, Swami snapped that relationship. My life took a different road, his a different road. So, if you want to be serious on the spiritual path, if you want to be serious of becoming near and dear to God, we have to be serious about association change. You cannot move with everybody. You cannot move with every kind of setting and every kind of place for some time. For some time, once you develop that capacity, like Swami had, Swami could go to any situation, any person. I mean, he has interacted with all people who have done all kinds of, in Mandir, you know, all kinds of people would come to him. And I remember one day, Swami was giving darshan and there was this huge, massive, burly looking ruffian sitting in darshan line and, you know, jumping over people's heads and trying to give a letter to Swami. And Swami took that letter. Though he did little mischief by jumping over people, stretching his hand, Swami stretched his hand and took that letter. And then Swami walked a few steps. There was a sadhu sitting in the darshan and this man saw from a distance that his letter dropped from Swami's hand into the lap of the sadhu. So darshan got over and Swami went inside the interview room. So people got up and immediately this man comes to the sadhu. He says, that is my letter. Please give the letter to me. Sadhu said, Swami gave me this letter. I am not going to give it to anybody else. He said, what do you mean you will not get? I have written very personal things in the letter. You cannot take that letter. This is mine. He said, I don't care. This is what Swami has given me. So, you know, a quarrel started, and when the quarrel starts in the mandir, the first people on the scene will be the Sevadal. Hey, why are you quarreling and all? So both of them explained this water, and the Sevadal was perplexed. He said, Swami, you are the root of this quarrel. Because he has given his letter, and Swami gave off the letter to somebody else. And he was perplexed. Now, how to solve the problem? Because Swami is at the cause of the problem. Then he got a brain wave. You know, if you love Swami, Swami will also give you a way forward. So he pleaded with the sadhu. Sir, he is saying, very personal things he has written in the letter. Can you not take the envelope only and give that letter? What personal things he has written? What is your connection? You keep the envelope. Swami gave you the envelope, keep the envelope. But give the this thing to him. So, somehow the sadhu agreed. I said, okay. So they opened the envelope. And they took out the letter, and what came out was like what happened with Louis Mountbatten, a blank sheet of paper. So the Sevadal got very furious with this man. He said, what is this? You create such a ruckus in the mandir for a blank sheet of paper? And this ruffian, you know, he was shedding tears, started crying, and tears are flowing, you know, huge man, oblivious of what all people are thinking around him. He said, you know, and he said, you know, in his tears, amidst his tears, he said, you know, I am a very, very bad man. I've done so many sins in my life. Everything that I had done, I had written in my letter and had told Swami, Swami, if you want me to start a new life, please accept this letter. You know, you make such a prayer to God. God is not a fool to lose that opportunity. He'll grab the letter from your hand. And that's what Swami did. So, when he saw that blank sheet of paper, the message he felt he got, I have wiped your past clean. From today onwards, lead a good life. So, this is the, you know, experience of that ruffian. Then the Sevadal found the envelope was not yet empty. So, he put his hand into the envelope and a few currency notes came out of it. When he saw the currency notes, this gentleman who said he has had such a, you know, criminal background or whatever, he said, this is not my money. I did not put this money in this envelope. And then the Sevadal saw the sadhu started crying. Because the sadhu, when they counted the money, the sadhu said, you know, in all my, with great difficulty in my journey and all, I reached here and I ran out of all means. Now I have to go back to my native place. I didn't know whom to ask, what to ask. So I was praying, Swami, I have to go back to my native place. Please show me some way forward. The exact fare that he required to return to his native place, that much money is there in the envelope. So the Sevadal is seeing, one side this ruffian is crying, another side the sadhu is crying. That is Swami, I tell you. He who could win the heart of a sadhu and a ruffian, reconcile both situations simultaneously, that alone can be divinity. Because if you take Shiva's family, you know, full of contradictions. Full of contradictions. On the one hand, you have Shiva's vehicle is Nandi, the cow. And Mother Parvati's vehicle is the lion. You know, both are antagonistic to each other. Here on Shiva's neck you have the serpent. And the serpent, you know, the food for the serpent is mice, which is the vahana of Ganesha. And the enemy of the serpent is Shanmukha's, Subramanyam's vehicle, which is peacock. You know, full contradictions, and yet the divine family is so harmoniously living together. See, that kind of harmony is possible only with divinity. So, he who could reconcile all, because the whole world belongs to the Lord. Whole world belongs to the Lord. Even the worst fellow also belongs to the Lord. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say, you know, the Swami's means of transformation was love. At all, what did he show in this particular episode? His love for the sadhu and his love for that so-called, in his own words, that criminal. It is that love which transforms. And when you fall in love with that love, wonders happen in your life. Wonders happen in your life. It happens in the Ramayana. Ravana sends some spies. You go and find out what's happening in Rama's camp. So they, you know, disguise themselves as monkeys and they're going around. Somehow the monkeys find out these fellows have come and they catch them. And they bring it and they want to finish off because, you know, from the enemy these spies have come. They want to finish off. They want Rama's permission. Please give us permission. They'll finish these fellows off. Rama says no. And he instructs, take these monkeys and take them to all the segments of our army, let them see everything and send them with honor back to their master. Everybody is shocked. Crazy. War is about to begin. And what is this you are saying? But nobody can question. So they do all that and they go back and they report to Ravana. And Ravana says, oh, you have come, did you see what has happened? Yes, we have seen. Come on, tell me, what happened? What happened? What are the strengths of the army? What are this thing? Whatever you have seen, come on, tell me quick. And then the spies of Ravana tell, we will not tell. He said, what do you mean, you will not tell? No, we will not tell you. He said, do you know what I can do for you? I will see that all of you are hacked to pieces. On pain of death, I am instructing you, tell me what all you have seen. They said, we will not tell. Why will you not tell? Because when we went there, we experienced what is love. We can cheat anybody in the world. We cannot cheat love. God stands for that love. It is that love which transformed anybody and everybody. Everybody who has come into, if any change you see in them, it is that love. 2 days ago, I'll maybe take a few minutes and close with this. I was sharing with our devotees from Madhya Pradesh a couple of days ago. I was listening to the talk by Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram. She's the daughter of Mr. Padmanabhan, who was our trust convener in Karnataka for many years. In Sai Ramesh Hall, you would have seen whenever Swami would come out for darshan, you would be walking behind Swami, a dentist. Very ardent devotee, and they've been devotees of Swami for 4 generations. His father, Sheshagiri Rao, 1943, they came and had their first darshan, and he was the pujari of the mandir here. So she was narrating this beautiful thing, because, you know, when we talked of individual change, we talk of association change, then there is spiritual change, and it is in that context of spiritual change that I refer to this. So she was, at that point of time, you know, you have seen in Mandir also, our students would celebrate their birthdays with Swami, and they'll take a tray, and they'll take a flower, and they'll take to Swami and offer. So she was sitting in the, I think Vrindavan or Parthi, I don't know where, she was sitting with this flower on her 20th birthday and waiting to offer it to Swami. So Swami came and Swami asked, which birthday it is? And she said, Swami, it's my 20th birthday. So Swami asked, what is the significance of 20th? No, 20th, Swami, it's my birthday. I came now. Now don't give me home assignments like this. I don't understand. 20th is 20th. It's my birthday. I came to offer. Then Swami said, 20th, it is 20. So 2 represents Shraddha and Bhakti. Practice Shraddha and Bhakti. This is the message I'm giving you on your 20th birthday. See, when we are young, we start, you know, Swami used to tell students, start early, the message of the roads, start early, drive slowly, reach safely. We start late, drive fast, and, you know, reach with all accidents, if at all we reach. So we just start early. So at that age, when you are starting your spiritual journey, these are the 2 virtues you need to cultivate, Shraddha and Bhakti. Go, practice, Swami said. And then she must have celebrated birthdays in between also, but Swami never broached this subject again. Till 10 years later, now it is her 30th birthday, and she's sitting again with a rose to offer to Swami. And Swami comes and says, which birthday, Geetamma, today? She said, Swami, it's my 30th birthday today. What is the significance of 30? Now again, she is totally perplexed. Swami, we learned this, you know, when we don't know, keep quiet. Because Swami will, on his own, give the answer. He said, see, for 10 years, I did not say anything. So, Shraddha and Bhakti was the message I gave you earlier. Now I am giving you a new thing to practice. 3 stands for Trikarana Shuddhi. Thought, word and deed. Keep it united. Manasekam, Vachasekam, Karmanekam, Mahatmanam, Swami used to say. So, unite your thought, word and deed. Go, practice. So, again, you know, for the next so many years, she was contemplating on that and practicing it. 10 years later, now it is a 40th birthday. See, look at the teacher in Swami, which lesson he has given to which individual. Student may have forgotten, he doesn't forget. So now she is sitting on a 40th birthday and with her rose again, the same rose. See, message becomes different, the rose is the same. So she sits standing in the mandir and Swami comes, which birthday Gitamma? And she says, Swami, it's my 40th birthday today. So what is the significance of 40? Again, she has now learnt, so she keeps quiet. So Swami says, 4040. 4 stands for the Purusharthas, the 4 Purusharthas. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. And this is how Swami would interpret it, that earn wealth, Artha means wealth. Earn wealth through dharmic means, through righteous means. And develop Kama or desire for Moksha. So, both simultaneously you must cultivate. So Swami, and then she said, after that Swami didn't talk about my birthday and all, and for many years nothing happened, no conversation of this side. Till many, many years later, it was her father's 80th birthday. So the whole family had gathered around Swami and all the relatives had come, and Swami was talking to her father, Dr. Padmanabh, and said, Padmanabh, what is the significance of 80th birthday? And everybody knew, now Swami is going to tell us something special. And he says, Swami, I don't know, Swami, you only tell. He was a man of very, very few words. So he finished it off in that one sentence, Swami, I don't know, Swami, you only tell. So Swami said, looked around and he saw his daughter, Mrs. Geeta Ram, and said, this answer Geeta knows, she will give. So everybody, oh, Geeta knows. I mean, boy, you know, we have somebody amidst us who is going to tell. So, you know, she has been getting so many tutorials for so many decades now. So she said, 20 means Shraddha Bhakti, 30 means Trikarana Shuddhi, 40 means Purusharthas. Then when she came to 50, she said, Swami, this you didn't tell me, I don't know. Now you have to take over. So then Swami takes over and he says, when you attain the age of 50, see, look how Swami is laying the road map for our spiritual life. When you attain the age of 50, 5050, 5 stands for the 5 indriyas, 5 senses. So you must cultivate control over the 5 senses. You know, when I crossed 50 years, I had some health issues, so I went to the doctor and the doctor said, sir, this, you must not eat. And you know, you're like, oh, I can't eat ice cream, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. You know, but I thought to myself, if you want to serve Swami at least another 20 years, then this is a small sacrifice. So I changed my lifestyle, changed my diet, because if you don't do that, you know, you'll become, if you are going, you know, you need 2 people to carry from left side and 2 people to carry from the right side. You can't serve Swami like that. So, I remember I drew strength from a small conversation I had with Swami many years ago when I was warden at the senior boys hostel here. One day we were discussing menu and Swami said, you know, I also don't eat biscuits, he said. So, I got the hint. See, I don't eat this bit, you also don't eat biscuit. I thought to myself, that was the easiest snack for us. You don't have to travel, because our timings are very, very odd, and we don't know when we'll get time to eat. Sometime by the time you go to the kitchen, dining hall, food is all over, it's long past. So the easiest snack, take a biscuit, finish it, and you know, you are through for next few hours. Now Swami is telling, so I said, Swami, that is okay for you, but not in my position, I can't avoid this instruction I cannot follow. After I crossed 50, when our dietitian told, please avoid eating bakery stuff like biscuits, I remembered that word of Swami. 25 years ago, he's already given me an instruction. See, I don't eat biscuits. So I draw saying, if Swami is not eating, what's the big deal? We also went it. You know, every month, in the mandir, we get prasadam left, right and center. So, somebody was having diabetes or something like that, and Swami said, don't eat sweets. Then he said, Swami, but you are giving sweets every day in the mandir. Swami said, I may give. You should not eat if it doesn't suit you. So somehow sentimental I feel, you know, Swami is giving prasadam, we can't say no to prasadam. So what I do nowadays is I take the prasadam and give it off to somebody. Control among the senses, the toughest sense to control is the tongue. And this is life's teaching actually. You know, life is teaching you. Come on now. I ate like a 20-year-old for till the age of 50. I cannot eat like that. The body is not suited to eat like that. I should now change if I want to be healthy, if I want to be of some use to Swami. As simple as that. So control of the five senses is what Swami prescribed at 50. And then he came to 60. What do you do at 60? There are six enemies of man. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. Jealousy, desire, anger, pride, delusion. All these six you have to conquer. That is the assignment for our sadhana from 60 to 70. When you reach 70, what do you do at 70? Swami says, there are saptarishis. You must be acquire the status of the saptarishis. Who is a rishi, Swami would say? Rishi, the Lord he would describe, is Rishi Manas Sanchari. So if you want to be a saptarishi, if the stature of a rishi means the Lord must be roaming in your mind like, you know, a free bird, then you have achieved the status of a rishi or a saptarishi, whatever. Then comes 80. What should you do at 80? Swami says, acquire the status of dikpalakas. There are considered, these dikpalakas are the protectors of the eight directions. So, you know, Swami, my understanding of it is like, you know, there will be negative energy coming from all sides. So these are the dikpalakas. So become a dikpalaka means whether within you or outside you, in your small community or in your larger community, there will be negative forces, negative energy. You know, this is not okay, this is not okay. Quarrel, this, conflict, all that is coming. Countries quarrel. So all this negative energy is, you know, bombarding us from all sides. So protect yourself, your both inner self as well as your community from this negative energy. Repel the negative energy and become a transmitter of positive energy. That was what Swami was. He embodied that. People come with all their worries, all their anxieties, all their problems, and Swami just utters one word and they go back so happy. So happy they go back. You know, that is what Swami wants us to practice. And then he comes the 90th birthday. 90th birthday, Swami said, become like the Navagraha. The Navagrahas, the nine planets, they all are rotating around the sun. The sun is Swami. The sun is divinity. So make your life God-centric. For years and years it has been world-centric. At least now make it God-centric. And then you come to century, 100 years. What is the significance of your 100th birthday? 100. So only one. You and I are one. That is the status you should achieve when you come to your 100th birthday. Now we really don't know whether we will reach the 100th birthday or not. So Swami allows us to have double promotion, triple promotion. So accelerate. Don't think, when I achieve 60. And all this is not knowing. That's what we learned from the conversation with Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram. Swami says, go, practice, practice, practice. Spirituality is practice, not talking. We talk, yes. Because we need to have the understanding. When we have the understanding, the motivation to practice will come. But main thing is practice, not the talk. And that's why, you know, many spiritual masters would just be silent. And Swami himself has said, if you cannot understand my silence, you will not be able to understand my words either. Swami would be so silent. Swami said once about himself, I am a silent worker. He has done so much for humanity. So much means even today when I meet people, I feel stunned. And you know, Swami, hardly we knew you. We lived years, decades with you. But when I hear some of the experiences of the devotees, Swami, we don't know you. Every day that passes, the only realization is how little we know you. And we cannot know you. The only thing we can know is His love. And His love has that power to transform. I'll end with this last quote Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was once describing the difference between man's love and God's love. You know how man's love is? Supposing somebody comes to you and you have been obliging him, whatever he asks, you have been saying yes, yes, yes. 99 occasions you have obliged him. On the 100th occasion, he comes to you and asks you for something. For some reason, you're not able to, you know, oblige him. For some circumstance, you're not able to say yes, you have to say no. So when you say no, you know what that fellow, how he will react? Rascal! One thing I asked you, and this much else you couldn't do for me? You know, 99 times in the past you have helped him. He has no awareness of what you have done for him in the past. Once. You could not, your circumstances didn't allow you to say yes to him. And he forgets everything he said and blames you, curses you, useless, this, that. You know, how is God's love? 99 occasions you abused him, criticized him, insulted him, hostile to him, hostile to his devotees, hostile to his mission. 99 occasions you have denied him. On the 100th occasion, you just had a feeling, maybe there is some truth in this. Maybe I should fold my hands and offer my worship to him. Maybe I should take this coconut and offer it in front of Ganesha. Once you got the thought of expressing some positive feelings for the Lord forgets everything that you have said, everything that you have done in the past, and he catches on to that one little, you know, positive act of yours, positive prayer of yours, one little, you know, glance that you have made in his direction. That is divine love. And that is that love, as Swami would often remind us, is the love of 1,000 mothers. You cannot understand the love of one mother. What you will understand the love of 1,000 mothers. So to that love, we offer our reverential adoration. Jai Sai Ram.
Jiske sar par haath ho tera, kaun bigaade uski, har pal uske saath hai baba, har pal raksha uski. सब दुख दूर करे साई नाम सुमिरन जो भी करे यही नाम सब दुख दूर करे भव सागर से पार उतारे जन्म जन्म के पाप हरे यही नाम सब दुख दूर करे साई राम साई राम साई राम साई राम कोई मनोरथ मन में बसाए तुम्हारी शरण जो आए मनोरथ मन में बसाए तुम्हारी शरण जो आए इन चरणों में मन चाहा फल बिन मांगे मिल जाए साई बिगड़ी बात सवारे संपत्ति भंडार भरे यही नाम सब दुख दूर करे साई राम साई राम साई राम साई राम प्रति तीर्थ धाम हमारा हम साई के पुजारी प्रति तीर्थ धाम हमारा हम साई के पुजारी साई बाबा इस धरती पर शिव शक्ति अवतारी जब हो सर पे साया तुम्हारा जब हो सर पे साया तुम्हारा जब हो सर पे साया तुम्हारा कौन किसी विपदा से डरे यही नाम सब दुख दूर करे साई राम साई राम साई राम साई राम गंगा साई जमुना साई मथुरा काशी साई तो है घट घट वासी अजर अमर अविनाशी साई नाम ब्रह्मा साई नाम विष्णु साई नाम शिव शंकर
ओम साई जय साई श्री साई जय साई ओम साई जय साई श्री साई जय
साई राम साई राम बाह छुड़ाए जात हो निबल जान के मो हृदय से जब जाओ तो सबल में जानू तो हे गिरिधर गोपाल करुणा सिंधु कृपाल भक्तवत्सल सबके संबल मुकुले निर्बल के बल दीन के बंधो निर्बल के बल दीन के बंधो बचन सुन के बैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना
हाँ मुंगरिया जान डगरिया ले चालो मोहे जानो तुम्हारे शरण में तुम्हारी शरण में अब मेरो ठोर ठिकानो गोपाल गोपाल हरि तुम ही आंधे की लखुटिया हरि तुम ही आंधे की लखुटिया तुम ही जिया को चैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना दर्शन ते सुख बिन दर्शन दुख प्रभु मेरो मन वापावे तुम देखे मेरो सूरज उगे तुम बिछड़े छुप जावे गोपाल गोपाल अपने पतित को बैग उबारो अपने पतित को बैग उबारो नाम रटो दिन रैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हे गिरिधर गोपाल श्यामा दीन दयाल भक्त वत्सल सम के संबल मोकुले संभाल गोपाल